Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Brian, the bear. I have the question here.
Hello.
And I have my brother, Jeff.
How's it going?
Jeff and I, as you may have heard, used to do a podcast called The Weekly Media Mess, and long may it rain someday to rise again out of the ashes.
I say that every time. As soon as I come up with a good idea, I'll be back.
So we are here to talk about Game of Thrones. We just watched season 2, episode 1 of the Game of Thrones, the adaptation of the book by George R.R. Martin.
The book series, A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yes. 7 book series, is that what we're thinking?
Projected.
Yeah.
Who knows if they'll stick to that.
5 is out now.
Yes,
6 has been, like, chapters leaked or...
He's leaked a couple, I think one full chapter from the 6th book, which is, what's it called? Something of Winter.
They all illiterate? No, Dance of Dragons wouldn't be that way either.
No, they're not all illiterate.
Okay. So, something of winter.
Whatever. Yeah.
Winter's coming. Winter is coming. That's a big phrase that they use a lot.
No, but now in season 2, war is coming.
Ooh. So, we're going to do... this is the Game of Thrones 101. This is our series that we're trying to get you guys, the listeners, whether it's a gay topic or a geeky topic, a little more informed so you can talk intelligently with your friends at the water cooler or online or what have you. And ideally, you could jump on. The way they set up these series now, I'm sure you know, is jumping on points are every season. So, you know, if you didn't watch season 1, I know a lot of us are purists. We want to go back to the beginning, see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Don't have to. You could actually jump right in on season 2. They do a recap. And mm-hmm. then you're going to hear us talk about what happened in season 1 mm-hmm. and the first episode, so you'll be ready to go.
Lots of spoilers.
Yes, we are going to spoil.
At least up through the first episode of season 2.
Basically right. Where I know, and that's it. Because I don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
Even though us two
have read the books, but you're a noob.
It's sad. I tried the first book. I think I got halfway through, and I just...
Honestly, most people say that. Yeah. The problem is everything kicks off and really gets going after that halfway point in the first book.
I could see that. And even the second book, we'll talk about what happened, but it really starts to build momentum at that point. And yeah, it's cool.
Yes.
So let's talk about what Game of Thrones actually is. A lot of people hear it and they go, what is that, like a game? What is that, a board game, a card game? What is Game of Thrones? It sounds
actually,
like
yes.
Is it?
It is that too.
They do have those for it, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
No, but yeah, it's sort of, I always explain it as, it's like Lord of the Rings, but with hardly any magic. Or fantasy, really, at all. But it's like Lord of the Rings meets Sopranos.
Yeah, this is... Nice. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings if all the magic has already died out in the world.
Like, it's a post-magical world.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you might have heard, like, oh, yeah, I remember those dragons. Like, oh, they're dragons, like, hundreds of years ago.
So, you know, it's kind of a middle-age, feudal, medieval era.
Yeah.
The focus in half the aspect of the book series, half of it is focused on the feudal kind of posturing and manipulations of what it takes to be a king in this land. The other half of the book is about the magic in the world coming back.
So there's this idea that winter is coming, and this world, which is definitely not Earth, has like long summers and then
that
long winters.
Years at a time.
Yes, yeah. Decades. And they said their summer that they're coming out of in this series is ending like it's been going on for 10 or 15 years.
And the longer the summer, the even longer the winter
is.
Yes.
And now winter is coming.
Which is actually one of the families. That's the other cool thing about this book. For those of you guys who have read Dune, I think there's a lot of that house versus house drama, you know, seeing the loyalties shift and all the pieces on the stage. You know, it's like a big game of multi-sided chess. I mean, there's just so much going on.
Mm-hmm. That's a great
politics.
Way to explain it, yeah.
But the Stark family is the, at first, I think they're kind of the viewpoint house. Like, they're the ones you spend a lot of time with, at least in the first book.
Right.
And, you know, you sympathize with them. And Ned Stark, the leader of that
Sean
house.
Sean Bean,
yes.
Who's the main character, you would say, of the first season.
Lord of the Rings.
You could say he has really mastered the art of a dying character.
Yes.
So here's our first big spoiler.
Doesn't make it past the first season.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Literally, I think in episodes, he makes it to, like, 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah.
It's 9
also,
of 10.
It's also worth saying that while there's this multi-sided chess game, but there's someone like slowly like turning the temperature down to sub-zero temperatures and killing everyone in the room, and that is they're called the White Walkers,
or in the book they're called the Others.
They're called the Others, but that sounds like the Others from Lost,
exactly.
And also it's not very explanatory. White Walkers these are like these people or these like zombie ice creatures, I don't know, from way up north. It's why they built the wall. To keep them out, and now they're like sort of, as winter is coming, they're descending like on the kingdom.
And so you have this order of kind of monastic ex-prisoner, ex-rapist, ex-whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. It's only become that now.
Okay.
It used to be a voluntary service.
Yeah.
Talking about the Night's Watch.
The Night's Watch.
The crows that they've become known as, because they always were all black.
Yeah.
They used to be a sacred order that people would volunteer to go to. The problem is that, like he said, monastic, they have to give up the right to have children, they have to give up the right to own land, they basically have to devote their lives. It's like your army for life.
They're Jedi.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And our introduction to this comes from Jon Snow, who is Ned Stark's bastard child.
Yep.
And
there's a lot of bastards in this series.
Yes, lots
so
of bastards.
Which is kind of funny.
Complete side note, you'll know that it's a bastard because their name is not related to a family, it's related to what land they were born in.
He was born in the north, so it's Jon Snow. There's like a guy who was like, I don't know, it was like Bob Rivers or something, and he was born in the Riverlands. I just made that up.
Nice.
Well, actually, I think that's true. And then also, if anybody's born in the Stormlands, where the Baratheon family reigned, they're called Storm. So something Storm. So Gendry, as we've been seeing in the first season and this episode, his name is Gendry Storm.
And Gendry is very attractive, I will say.
You've mentioned you have
not my favorite body type, but he's got the like the little eyeliner thing going, sort of thing. Yeah, he's cute.
You like a little emo?
Kind of. Gotta find an emo bear, I guess. That's interesting. Anyway, what else? Yeah. So
those are some of our major characters.
And there's lots of kids.
And
the family's
but
big.
The main opposition to like the Starks is the Lannisters.
Yeah.
And if anyone's heard of the show, they've probably heard of Tyrion Lannister, who's played by Peter Dinklage, who won an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his performance. Best supporting actor.
Golden Globes don't actually matter because it's...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Hey!
Foreign press. Who is it? No, so yeah, Peter Dinklage has been around forever. He's been in tons of stuff.
Yeah, and he always refused to play like goblins and elves and stuff. And
remarkable.
It's paid off.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
I liked him in Death at a Funeral.
Yeah.
And then I liked him in Death at a Funeral.
I was going to say. He was in the British one and the black one.
I respect him for that.
So he is the sort of the... he's not a bastard. He's a legitimate part of the family.
Yes.
But he's one of three.
He's a dwarf. He's a little person.
He's a dwarf. His father is this very rich, very power-hungry guy.
Yeah.
I don't really know his backstory very much.
Tywin Lannister.
Tywin. And his daughter and his son.
His daughter's the queen of the kingdoms.
And the son is the Kingslayer, a knight that actually personally deposed with an army and all that, the previous king who is...
He stabbed the previous king in the back. He was his personal guard and killed him.
Oh, okay.
Jaime Lannister.
Yeah, okay.
He was the head of the Night's Guard or the
Kingsguard.
Kingsguard. The White Cloaks that you've seen before. They're basically the king's personal bodyguards. The previous king before
Aerys?
No, the Baratheon.
Targaryen.
The Targaryens.
Right, but who was the Baratheon? Robert.
Robert, yes.
Aerys Targaryen was the king before that, who they all rose up as a civil war before the books begin to take over. Jaime dealt the final blow and actually killed Aerys, but Aerys was also known as Mad Aerys because he was...
Yeah, he was a mad... Like, he tortured people.
He burned people alive.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty fucked
Ned's
up.
Ned's brother. Yeah.
So that's another family, Targaryens. So,
And
they're basically in exile, and there's really very few left. They're kind of all in hiding and
about
whatever.
About one.
And one is the one that we see.
And
I guess
and so there's all this. There's all this going on in Westeros, which is the name of the land. But across the sea, like way, way far away on the other side of the world,
in America,
there's Daenerys, and she is a Targaryen, and they have like links to like dragons. Like their ancestors used to ride dragons around and everything.
They're kind of like the elf. If the elf like lost most of their elfin features,
right? She has like silver hair. She's very beautiful, and she was like. An abused little sister of this guy, and then he sold her off to like a warlord in exchange for an army.
The horse fuckers.
And
the Dothraki.
Dothraki.
This is what I call them. The horse fuckers.
Horse fuckers.
Because they have sex with horses.
Yeah, but
they
huge.
Do?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
I mean,
I didn't see that.
This other guy went on to, you know, become Conan. So, you know, they're pretty.
Jason
they're
pretty, Momoa.
The leader of the horse fuckers, his name is Carl, at least the way I say it. Carl Drogo, and I know it's
Carl
not,
Drogo.
I know it's
Carl.
I know it's not Carl, but I call him Carl Drogo,
anyways,
the horse fucker. It's important
Carl
to point
Drogo,
this out.
I was trying to be informative here, and now you're just on
this
about
is,
horse fuckers.
This is how I remember it.
But sure,
you need hooks.
No, you're
to
right.
These.
The horse fuckers. Okay, anyways,
that's right.
She ends up marrying the leader of the horse fuckers, and then he dies, and the whole army leaves, and she's left there with nothing but a funeral pyre and some dragon eggs. And at the very end of the first season. They hatch, and she has three dragons
all over her,
which are which are like nuclear weapons in this universe. Like, if you got dragons, you better watch out.
She got
three
of them.
Which is what I really encourage anybody that if you like Game of Thrones and you want to know more, by God, go and read the back matter, because there's the whole long story about the Targaryens, where they came from. They came from this land, almost like an Atlantis. Like, this was the power of the ancient world for Westeros. These people ruled with dragons. The Targaryens were the only family to escape this land when basically what they hint at is a big destruction happened and wiped out the land.
Okay.
So the Targaryens are the only ones who actually escaped before that.
Yeah, Middle Earth.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But
they went to the West.
It's this whole fascinating thing about and this land had like amazing technology, and they were the very easily they dominated.
Is that where Valyrian steel comes from?
It's Valyria.
Okay. Oh, Valyria. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
It's like that special steel.
So we got the Targaryens over in the... Well, Targaryen, and then her... the knight, Ser Jorl.
Jorah Mormont.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's kind
of... His dad being Mormont, the leader of the...
The Night's Watch. Yes.
I like him a lot, because he was actually in... There's a couple Doctor Who alumni I got to point out. He's one of them. He was the Father Octavian in the Angels two-parter.
He was also the father of the big red Scotsman in Braveheart.
Oh, I did not know that. And then we also have the other Targaryen, the one that gets a crown, so to speak, of liquid gold poured on his head.
Mm-hmm. I like gold!
Yeah, he was a Doctor Who alumni. He was one of the Scarecrows in the World War I, World War II episode.
I did not know that.
So there's the two Doctor Who alumni. But, so we got Targaryens over on the other side. We got the Starks.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Lannisters. Mm-hmm. And we got the Baratheons. We've mentioned Robert, who was the king, but then he got killed in a quote-unquote hunting accident.
Well, and actually it was. That's the thing. The only thing that they did to kill him was get him drunk.
Right. But, I mean, that's
get him
how
real drunk.
The Lannisters are very manipulative. They are that type of people that success is theirs to grasp, and they will bring about it no matter what they do.
And their house sigil, and that's what I love, is every house has its own animal sigil.
Yeah.
Theirs is a lion.
Right.
For, you know, the Lannisters.
And the Starks is a dire wolf.
It's a dire wolf.
In fact, that's another cool thing. Each of the Stark children, which there's like, what, four or five?
There's five.
Five and six,
then the bastard,
including John.
They each one got their own wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all of them are alive except one? Is that
the deal? Yes. Sansa's lady got put down in the beginning.
Yeah, the first Arya had to chase hers off.
Yeah,
But the others are still with their owners.
So and, let's talk about.
Actually, one more.
Well, Baratheon, just the setup, you know, King Robert was the ruler. He got killed.
Uh-huh.
Well, his wife was the queen, Lannister chick, Cersei.
Yeah.
And she's actually been having sex with her brother.
Yeah,
and this
Jamie.
Is where it goes dynasty.
Her
yeah.
crazy twin stuff. Brother.
Her twin brother.
Really kind of creepy.
They shared a womb together.
Isolde, you know? Yeah. So a couple things with that. One, the first time you find out they're having sex, like one of the Stark kids is
Bran.
Like climbing all over this castle up in the north. And they're visiting, and he sees them having sex, and he gets caught. And so Jaime, the Kingslayer guy, basically walks up, is like, "Oh, hey, don't worry." Whoof, pushes him out the window.
Yep. And that was the end to the first episode, which was a brilliant piece of TV.
Yes. So he's alive, but he's
crippled.
But the phrase that Jaime says when he does it explains everything in his mindset at that time. He says, "The things I do for love."
And yeah.
And he pushes a kid out the window.
So Jaime at this point has kind of been manipulated in his own way by Cersei because he has this whole sexual relationship with her going on.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the king, now that, you know, Robert died, he got drunk and got killed by a boar while hunting. And now his son...
Joffrey.
I'm a Joffrey. That's a Joffrey.
Yeah.
Joffrey, who is, by the way, is a little boy from Batman Begins. I don't know if you remember that.
I did not know that.
Yes. And he, anyway, so he's like the worst little shit you've ever seen. And he's spoiled little teenager and like bullying people. He's now king.
He's like blonde problem child.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin's worst.
He's a cunt.
Sans John Ritter.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so he's now king, but his mother is trying to, like, sort of rule through him.
She's queen regent.
Yeah.
So she's kind of ruling, not for him, but with him, advising all stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
But she's noticing that he's a little, like, crazy. It was his irrational thinking that he's like, "Hey, let's kill Ned Stark. He's a traitor."
It's the inbreeding is what
it is. It's the inbreeding. It went. So
that's kind of the setup. Now, there's a couple other ancillary...
If you got that, you know. Yeah, you know. Got it. All that.
Seriously?
There's like 20 characters.
Well, let's talk about the gay characters, because I think that's very important.
Oh yeah, we missed...
In the books, you don't really find out one of them's gay until, like, what, book 3, I think? It's fairly later on.
To be fair, you never overtly find out they're gay at all.
Oh.
Yeah, it's way obvious in the show.
Yeah, they hint
in the
very
show,
vaguely.
Let's talk
books.
About this scene, because all of our gay audience, which there is some, believe it or not.
A small portion.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it's more straight. But the gay audience, there is a scene in the first season where King, or not King, well, he's King now, I guess, but Renly, the brother, the youngest brother of the Baratheon family.
Right, Renly.
Renly.
Pretty
who's
boy.
Also a hot otter. A little cubbish,
is
but
it
not
the
really.
Tiny beard that gives
yes.
him the otter?
Yes. Well, he's probably, he's hairy. In fact, his boyfriend is the Knight of Flowers.
Yes, Loras Tyrell,
that's right.
And he's like shaving him in this bathtub.
Loras's name is the Knight of Roses.
Oh, Roses, sorry, even gayer.
He's the Knight of Flowers.
Oh, is the Knight of Flowers? I thought it was Knight of Roses. Oh, yeah, it might be a Knight
They're
of
Flowers. They're both
pretty gay. Yeah,
and he basically looks
he's
like
a twink with like long,
Japanese,
luscious hair.
Japanese shonen kind of blonde locks. Oh, yeah, totally.
Like...
So he's a proper knight, like he's an attorney and he does
Badass knight. He unseated the Mountain, which is like this 9-foot tall guy who can like crush people and chop off a horse's head with one swing. And...
Yeah. So they're having a hot little scene in the bathtub, which again, not in the books.
Not at all.
And so there's this really hot scene, and I assume they're at least for a little while they're still somewhat involved. And I know there's a character coming up who's the sister of the Knight of Flowers, right?
Marjorie. Yes. She'll be introduced in season 2, yes.
So that's cool.
And,
so
I almost want to spoil what happens, but now I'll save it. I'll save it.
Save it. So
suffice to say that she's a decently big deal.
Yeah.
Cool.
And also we should talk about the King's Council.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which is Littlefinger and Varys. Varys, how you say?
Varys, yes.
Varys.
Peter Baelish.
Littlefinger?
I can his nickname is Littlefinger, but his full name is Peter Baelish.
Lord Peter Baelish.
Yes.
With a sigil now of Mockingbird.
Yeah, in season 2.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He gets there. He gets given his own castle, you know, to make it seem more.
Yeah.
Official.
Is that a castle in the city of
No.
It's like
he actually gets a proper
land somewhere.
My friend, friend of the show Alfred, our friend, he said that his favorite character is probably Peter Baelish because, like, it's like his ongoing kind of
awesome.
This is in the vaguest spoiler that I can give,
mm-hmm.
but Peter and Varys are kind of like if you had to pick two guys who are playing this chess match in the entire realm.
Right.
There are things that they're doing and operating on that only they two are doing. Like they're the ones behind each side.
They're
of the
puppet masters, kind
of. Yeah, you can sort of trace everything back to one of the two, which is crazy. But that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. Yeah. But we can talk about Varys, who's you don't really know anything about him. He's this like pampered, like eunuch,
cherubic,
very soft spoken. Seems very innocent, but he's known as the Spider, which is not very innocent. And he has his little birds. And there's a scene in the first season where they're walking around in a garden, and they're like, "Oh, that's one of his spies. That's one of his spies." And they're like, "Oh, who's that one?" He's like, "Oh, that's one of my spies." And so it's very, you know, he knows everything. Yeah. Seemingly too much.
You learn he has a knack for disguise too. Even in the first season, when he visits Ned in the dungeons,
he's like a ninja robe.
You think he's very, very looks a certain way, but he has all these different things to use to sneak around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll learn more about
him. He knows like secret passages and stuff.
That man is a eunuch.
Yes, he has no genitals. They were cut off.
And they constantly refer to it.
But what's funny is even throughout the book series, it's almost like the Joker in The Dark Knight. He gives a story about how he loses them, but you don't know to believe him or not if it's actually true.
Yeah.
You don't know. I mean, this entire time he might actually have his balls. You have no idea, because he's that manipulative and deceptive.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's a whole host of characters. Like,
we could go on.
Advisory class. They're called the Maesters.
Yeah, the Maesters, yeah.
They kind of have these robes, and they're all wise. And my favorite Maester has to be the King's Landing Maester, because you find out
Pycelle,
in the first season. Is that his name?
I think Maester Pycelle.
Grandmaester Pycelle.
He carries himself so old. He walks around all decrepit. And there's a scene where he's basically telling this prostitute that he's just fucked. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I've known so many kings. And he's just talking, and he's being his old. And then she leaves. He gets up, starts doing his stretches and doing some yoga.
Yeah, he's like very like buoyant. And he's like, you're like, what? He's putting on an act, much like everyone else, you know?
But what's funny is like you find out with the Maesters, especially that chain that they were, that gold chain, that metal chain, those are all the different rungs of the things that they've learned, almost like Boy Scout patches.
Nice.
So they put that on, and that weighs them down. So to an extent, it's an act, but it also, like, as soon as they put on that chain, it's like, oh shit!
Yeah, the weight of the world.
So much knowledge. Yeah.
So if you didn't know anything about Game of Thrones, now you're really confused.
I know, right?
There's a wiki. Use the wiki.
Well, and the series, I think they did a great thing with the series because they introduced them one at a time in some parts, and in a couple at a time in some parts. Mm-hmm. And the opening credits, they actually use that to teach you about the world.
Like it shows you the new location. And where they are in relation to everything else.
Which is
honestly
so awesome.
This is such a
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Digestible series because it's only 10 episodes per season.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, even go watch it, you know, if you can. And I always tell people, because in the first couple episodes, people are like, what's going on? Really? All you have to do, you should listen. Because like we were saying before, a lot of what they talk about and reference, like the Mad King and blah, 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 is a war that took place 20 years ago. And like, why is Jaime called the Kingslayer? He didn't kill anybody on the show, but he got that name like 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's the
just
back matter.
What you should really do is try to listen. Don't listen to what they're saying as much as the tone, and understand these two people are speaking antagonistically towards each other, or these people like each other, or, you know, more just go with the flow and the tone of the series, and then the rest of it will come naturally.
And
what's
even
the back matter deal? Like,
the book
where is
series,
this?
Even by itself, when you're reading the books, has an entire glossary.
Is that what you're talking about with the back matter?
It comes with a glossary. It comes with maps. I mean, the books themselves are also loaded with extra content that you might not know from glance that you reference as you're reading them.
So it's very Tolkien-esque in that sense. Mm. There's so much more about the world that he's written.
George R. R.
Less singing.
George R. R. Martin is sometimes known as the American Tolkien, which is high praise.
He fully admits that he did this because he was such a gigantic Tolkien fan.
And it's very much a successor to Tolkien because, again, Tolkien, not as much magic, a little bit still, and sort of some fantastic stuff. This is like a little more modern than that, but not still modern. So.
Yeah. More sex.
And so, oh, my God, lots of sex. Is there much sex in the book?
More.
Okay.
And cursing. And
that's cool. So let's talk about our favorite characters, I think.
Overall or just from the first book and into
Let's just talk about the first season. Yeah. I was a big fan. We didn't talk about her, so I'll just... Arya?
Yeah.
The little girl, Ned Stark's daughter, she's being bred to be like a princess, but she doesn't want to be. She wants to go shoot bows and play, you know, swords with like the boys and get dirty out, and, you know... There's a scene where she gets kicked. She winds up in like a sewer or something. It winds up outside the castle, and she wants to come back in. And the guards are like, "Get out of here, boy!" She's like, "I'm not a boy. I'm Arya Stark, and I'm off my father. Like, get you if you don't let me back in."
And that's something I think they've sold more successfully in the book. The whole playing up of people mistaking her for a boy all the time, especially when she's dirty.
She's a pretty little girl.
Exactly.
It's hard to hide.
But with her hair cut, I mean. She gets dirty.
You might buy it. Whatever. But either way, it's cool. And then she wants to... They call it her dancing master. And she goes and takes lessons from this guy who teaches her how to fight with swords. But she's just a little girl. I love her. She's a great actress. You know?
Her scenes are really great.
So what about you?
Of the first book, I would definitely say Jon was my favorite. Second close to Tyrion, just because Tyrion has such an interesting arc.
Yeah.
In that, you know, he's this kind of downtrodden, you know, of the Lannisters, which is still like... You know, congratulations, you're a member of the Bush family. You're awesome. But of the Bush family, you're still the low one on the totem pole.
You're still Jeb.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
You're the governor of Florida. What are you going to do?
Florida.
You weren't president.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, the arc he goes on where that by the end of the book, his father is basically going, guess what? You're the only Lannister that hasn't fucked up, so I'm sending you to King's Landing to be the Hand in my stead because I actually trust you.
And we didn't talk about that. The Hand of the King is kind of the guy. He's like the... He's the prime minister.
He's the guy behind the guy.
He's the Castiglieri of the mafia. He's the guy doing the actual work, whereas the royal family kind of just rule and chop people's heads off and have festivals.
What is it? The phrase in the book is the king shits and the hand wipes or something like that.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
So basically,
the
they're
king
the ones
eats
who do
or the hand takes the shit.
Yeah.
And another thing that just occurred to me is worth mentioning, the Iron Throne you probably have seen in different things about the show, and it's basically a throne where they've taken all these swords and beaten them into the actual throne itself. Yeah. So the throne is this spiky looking, kind of looks uncomfortable, but you know,
a throne is a hard thing to sit on. So
I find that to be the case.
And that was the example that they made when Aerys the Conqueror comes over at the very beginning in the whole series, is that all the swords are from conquered kings and lords that he beat in battle. And you know, the swords are still pointy and jagged, and so if you cut yourself on the throne, that's almost a sign that the throne is rejecting you.
Oh, I see.
So
I did not catch that.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say my favorite character so far is Jon Snow. And it's because he does seem to have a bit of growing up to do, and he's trying to, like, they're trying to beat that arrogance out of him to make him a proper Jedi, a proper Night's Watch, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do like Tyrion. I'm not going to lie. He's a pretty awesome character. I love all the Starks. I mean, pretty much I am very pro-Stark, and thus far the only other house that I even really kind of like is the Renly, of course.
What's great, though, is as it goes on, you'll be introduced to more houses.
Yeah.
And certain characters from these other houses will become focal points.
Yeah, that's the thing I know from what I know of the series, and this is probably going to be true in this show as well. You start out with a set, like you said, and characters get killed. I mean, Ned Stark was a pretty big character in the first book, and he gets killed. George R. R. Martin does not mind killing characters.
Yeah, no one is safe. The second you like somebody, they're going to get disfigured, they're going to get raped, they're going to get left for dead, or they're just going to straight up die.
Yeah.
In the worst way possible. Yeah. So,
and that's the other thing. I was actually reading a little bit about Martin and his background and some of the stuff about him, and it seems like he just kind of has a downer view of the world.
Right. Well, a lot of people argue is this nihilism, because nothing seems to matter. Even if you win this battle, like, you could get stabbed in the back the next day. But we haven't seen the end of it, so it's hard to say.
Right. And he's said many times that the reason why he feels it necessary to kill people, and especially not when you really expect it, is the simple fact that people die all the time, and it might be when they don't deserve to die. It might be, you know, they have all these great goals and great things in mind, but they're still susceptible to death just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's his ruling about when people should die.
So we did just see season two premiere. I mean, we've talked a little bit about what happened, but what were some of the things that stood out to you guys about season two and what we've seen so far?
Well, starting with season two, there's the, you know, Joffrey's king, but all these other guys suddenly want to be king. We've got Renly, who's was Robert's brother, younger brother, and then we have Stannis, which is the next oldest brother. So Stannis has the rightful.
I thought Stannis was actually older than Robert.
Like, was he?
Stannis,
he looks older.
Stannis was actually, in certain ways, deserving more of the throne, but because Robert was the one who actually beat Aerys, he got the throne.
Right.
So that's why Stannis has been stuck on Dragonstone.
Yeah.
Because he's basically been stuck there saying, oh, congratulations for helping out, but at certain points you find out that he actually had to get rescued. It was this big thing. So he's kind of sat there bitter about the fact that the throne should have been his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, well, anyway, Stannis and Renly are brothers, and they both want the throne. There's Joffrey, who is sitting on the throne, even though we just found out his claim isn't that strong because his dad is the queen's brother.
Yeah, so he's not really a Baratheon.
Yeah, he's not.
And that's the great part about
three.
The first season.
Oh, then there's Robb Stark.
King of the North.
Who's king? Who wants to be king of the North.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually another one. I'm not going to say who.
He hasn't been introduced yet.
Yeah, he hasn't introduced yet. So, yes, it's going to be War of
Mance Rayder.
Five kings.
Yeah, but he's not. That's book three.
Okay. I wondered because I kept hearing about Mance Rayder. He's the guy who is north of the wall and gathering all these true northerners.
Like the wildlings.
Yeah, the wildlings to kind of have their own army.
Wildings.
Oh, my bad.
And so they've alluded to him, but I assumed at some point we would see more about that.
Yeah. All you need to know about Mance Rayder is that he, like they said in the first episode, when you're that far north, there's only one direction you're going to go.
Yeah.
And he's basically taking all this mass army of wildings and marching them back down into Westeros.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guys at the wall are forced to protect that, like stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. So they might come in conflict with him.
Yeah. This group that's been severely understaffed and underpopulated for years and years is now going to have to defend the entire country.
And staffed with rapists and murderers and thieves.
Well, they should be good at killing, you think.
Yeah, you
would
know.
Or fucking.
Running away.
Yeah, running away.
But the biggest, the characters, we already talked about Stannis, but what makes him kind of interesting is his little right-hand man, which is a woman named, is it Melisandre? Is that
Melisandre.
Melisandre.
It's basically how you want to pronounce it. Melisandre or Melisandre?
Melisandre.
That sounds like a black name.
She is this red priestess of this fire god.
Monotheistic.
Yeah, monotheistic.
That's
because,
the kicker.
Yeah, they worship the seven. So in the first episode, the first time we see Stannis, is she is burning the statues of the seven gods.
Oh, I didn't get that.
And
okay.
Having him take her god, the fire god.
Interesting.
R'hllor.
And as like, and she gives him like the burning sword and everything, like in the ceremony. And then the one of the priests, or no, is it? One of the maesters of the old faith of the seven gods tries to poison her. He takes a slip of the drink, which has poison in it, wanting to kill himself, and hands it to her, trying to kill her as well.
Basically,
he drinks it and dies. She drinks it and lives.
Yeah.
So you're like, there's something more to this woman than meets the eye. Like, she just drank poison and was fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Although you did also notice, and they mentioned this in the book, that when she does that, the ruby that she wears around her neck glows more brightly. And it's almost like they're hinting at that's what channels her magic. She can do.
Yeah.
Like her god's presence, it glows in that ruby.
Yeah.
So Stannis is pretty much full on taking her everything. Like,
right.
Oh, he's becoming, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Even though he has a wife, though.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he thinks he needs an edge. Like his brother is loved. Renly is loved and has 100,000 people. He's like, I need an edge. I'm going to take this fire god. She's promised me. She said she saw it like in a fire that I'm going to win this.
I got to ask you something here. A friend of mine at work told me that Renly's group of soldiers is called the Rainbow.
Yes,
this is the Rainbow Guard. And he puts his boyfriend, Loras, at the head of it.
Now,
he gives him a rainbow cloak.
Seriously?
He gives that other person that we haven't met yet as a member of the Rainbow Guard.
I mean, seriously?
Seriously.
That's gay. That's pretty gay.
Yeah.
That's pretty gay.
But
I mean, George, your symbolism is a little over the head, you know, beating us over the head.
Well, you know.
Like a penis.
Like a penis.
It was a flourish. It was, you know, it's all theater.
Yeah. So, this is what we've seen in this premiere. Yeah. We've also seen Rob making some demands of the Lannisters. Basically, they have Jaime. They'll give back Jaime if they give back the two Stark girls, which they don't realize that Arya's escaped.
Mm-hmm.
But they know they have Sansa, and they want to be basically left alone in the North. They want Scotland. Just give us Scotland, and we'll be good.
Pretty much, essentially, yeah.
So reasonable. But, you know, the Lannisters won't go for that.
But that's their surrender terms. That's their peace terms. Right. If they don't give them that, well, then screw it. We're just going to take the whole kingdom.
Yeah. So, and in the dragon, we have Daenerys with her dragons leading her people out into the wilderness. They're actually going away from Westeros, right?
Well, yeah, they're going, they don't know, they're going down the Red Waste, which is basically this barren wasteland between where they were with the Dothraki.
Dune, Arrakis, desert planet.
But they're trying to get through to the next populated area to escape any risk of being killed.
But they're going, if Daenerys' goal has been from beginning to kind of come back to Westeros and rule, like she wants to be a king herself.
Right now she's royally fucked in a desert.
Yeah.
With dragons,
not enough people
who won't eat. Yeah,
with no horse fuckers around.
No horse.
Well, maybe a couple.
And no horses. But, well, very little.
Yeah. Yeah, her horsey died.
I know, that's sad.
Poor thing.
And her blood riders took the rest of the horses to go scout out for people.
They're just gonna ride off and fuck those horses, then they're gonna leave her.
They're horse fuckers. That's what they do.
On a cold, lonely night, you know, you pray for a horse to fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So some characters that are coming up that we have not seen yet. Oh, actually, I want to know more about Davos.
Yeah, Davos.
You guys mentioned him.
Who's that actor? Look it up while we're talking.
Davos, the Onion Knight.
The Onion Knight?
Yeah. The Onion Knight. The reason why he's called that is because when Stannis was being, you know, attacked and that he had to be rescued, Davos was a pirate or, you know.
Like a smuggler.
A smuggler. And he was one of the only ones who actually managed to break through Targaryen's blockade and bring Stannis supplies and food while this whole onslaught was going on, so they nicknamed him the Onion Knight. Now, to give you an example of Stannis' character, even though Davos saved him and kept him from starving and eating each other on this island, because he used to be a smuggler pirate, Stannis made him cut off the tips of each of his fingers on his right hand
what?
As punishment for being a smuggler.
Oh, my
and
God.
And then made him his knight and made him his, like, second in command. So he's fair, but he will make you be punished for the crimes that you commit.
Yes, and as a reminder, Davos wears the tips of his fingers in a little bag around his neck.
Yes, there is good luck charm.
That's a little spoiler. That'll probably be explained in an upcoming episode, but that's just a little flavor for you.
Well, I will say, I looked at his IMDb profile. His name is Liam Cunningham.
He's very familiar. He seems like a villain in a lot of movies.
He is a hot daddy.
Let's see.
Wow. Look at that. Look at him there. He is a hot daddy.
It's that
person.
Same expression he has on his face all the time.
Oh, yeah.
IMDb has a...
Yeah. He's been in quite a lot.
He's a well-traveled British actor, but yeah, I don't think I've seen him. A War Horse, maybe.
Camelot. He was on the TV series Camelot with Ava Green.
Oh, he was in Camelot? I didn't see it on here. Catherine Tate, he was in the Christmas special. I mean, you know, a bunch of stuff that, like... I've probably passed by, but I can't place him from anything else.
He's one of those many... You know, plentiful British character actors.
Right. There's a lot of them.
He's really good, though.
So, who else? Oh, we got to talk about... How do you say her name?
She hasn't been...
Ygritte? I don't know.
Ygritte.
Yeah, actually, she hasn't been introduced. Maybe we should save her. But, yeah, let's say Jon Snow might find love in a cold place.
But, you know, if
he found love in a cold place.
Terrible. That's just terrible.
She shows up, like, near the end of book two.
Oh, okay.
They'll probably bring her earlier.
Maybe earlier.
Come on.
So who's this chick? Yeah. We talked about this on the show a while ago.
One of my absolute favorite characters. Is it Brienne?
Brienne. She's a man, baby.
She's, like, this mannish... She's often mistaken for a man, this, like, woman who didn't... Kind of like Arya. Maybe if Arya had grown up, she did not want to be a princess.
Grew up
she wanted to be a knight.
From, like, Norway.
Yeah.
She likes Norwegian toasters and
she looks like a Hungarian
flannel.
Dodgeball player.
I have no idea.
She is such a dyke. Oh, my God.
That's rude.
Oh, come on. Come on. Okay. Look at her. Look at pictures of this chick.
No.
She's got Birkenstocks.
And she's a member of the Rainbow Brigade.
Or Rainbow Guard.
Rainbow Guard, whatever.
No, yeah, she is cool. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
What's funny, see,
over the head.
Her intro is great enough. But I don't want to tell it about it.
Let's say. But let's just say, you know, she's a really cool character that'll be in this season as well.
She makes her mark very clear when she first shows up.
Good. Well, all you lesbians out there, and I think there's like two of you that listen.
I actually don't.
And after today, there'll be zero.
But in the books, I don't think she's gay.
Well,
she's more like asexual.
All the lesbians out there that like it butch, you will like her.
Mm.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
There ain't no lipstick on her. Now, who's this chick?
That's Marjorie Tyrell.
We talked about her a little bit. Okay. Loras's sister, who plays an important role later on. But they're introducing her now with a sort of a funny... You'll see. It's funny. It's funny. You'll laugh.
What else is there about Game of Thrones that we think the audience should know before they dig in? Either the books... Okay, let's do this. Books or show first? What do you think?
Well, the problem with the books... As much as you have to go on in reading far ahead in the story, the problem is you're reading really far ahead in the story.
Yeah.
So if you read the books, you're going to know what happens for as long as the show goes. This isn't Walking Dead. They're not going to throw loops at you just because they want to be different. They seem very clear at wanting to adapt the work.
Right.
So you read the books, you're going to know what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of twists. And it's actually, I think the first season was such a good piece of TV, and it was not loyal in terms of all the details. Like, they didn't pack it full of all the details, but in terms of the story and the characters, they nailed it. Like, you could not ask for a better adaption.
Well, and George R.R. Martin helped write the episode.
Yeah, he was there, you know.
He got to fix mistakes he might have had in the book writing and, like, wanted to flesh out things at different points.
Yeah, and he even said the filming of the show has influenced his writing of the books. Like, is her name Osha? Asha? The Wilding?
Yeah,
who
the one we saw walking around with Hodor and Bran on his back.
Yeah, she gets, like, captured and is, like, an indentured slave, sort of. So indentured servant. But he said because of what happened to her in the show, he's going to write her character differently when he revisits her in the book, which is interesting.
Which, and, you know, it's safe because he hasn't written that much of her in the books up till now.
And for those who do know, have read the books, there's, I think it's Jojen and Mirin, is that their names, the two green children?
Yeah.
I heard they were cut out.
In the books?
In the show.
Oh, in the show. See, that would be interesting. I don't know how they would do that.
Why are they green?
I think maybe...
It's the land they come from. They're like
a marshland.
Oh. They're swamp people.
Yeah.
Southerners.
But they're also hippies.
Oh.
Yeah.
They smoke the weed.
They have visions and stuff.
Yeah,
nice.
Mystics. If they cut them out of the show, I'm curious
to see
how they would...
Osha is going to take their place, and she's going to be the one to lead Bran on his journey this season. But I don't know. It's hard to say.
And Hodor. That's third season, how can we forget Hodor?
Hodor.
This guy only says his name. And I guess, actually, I don't even think that's his real name, but it's his name because that's what he says.
Right, exactly.
And he gets naked in, like, the first season for a little bit, which is pretty funny.
He's a giant penis.
I didn't see that. I remember that.
Big,
but yeah, you do see it, don't you? Really?
That's right.
And on that note.
So, I don't know. What else is there a flame on? The music's great from the music side.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't even
awesome.
Pronounce his name. How do you pronounce the composer's name?
I can't remember.
Dwajan, Riawian, Dwajan.
Yeah, the track we opened with is actually the opening of the show, and it's just it's great. And the music in the first season, I felt like, okay, there's some moments where it's a little cheesy, a little synthy. I think this new season, I think they're going to up it, and it's going to be like a proper, awesome soundtrack. So.
I think he's the second coming of Michael Giacchino.
Really?
I like this.
I was going to say Bear McCreary.
Bear McCreary?
Yeah, from Battlestar, but yeah, whatever. So, go check it out. We'll probably give on the next Flame On, we'll probably give another little recap of the next couple episodes because Q and I will be there to talk about what happened. I think we're the only two on the show that really watch it.
Yeah, Oral didn't watch it?
He was iffy. So, I don't know.
He probably gets through too much wine and can't finish an episode.
Yeah.
An hour's a long time for an alcoholic.
Oh,
put the claws in, man.
He's not here to defend himself. He's off battling Gene in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah. That was such a funny video.
So,
go check out that video.
It's up on our Facebook, which for those of you you probably found us from Nerdy Show, but we have a Facebook page, Flame On. It's up.
If you're one of our four Facebook fans.
There's like 100.
It's
shockingly low, though. Because I talked to people from all over.
Is it a personal insult to you?
Well, I talked to people all over the country. Like, I met somebody up in D.C. who listens to the show, and I didn't know him at all. And then I was on Scruff, and I told this one guy who said he's gay and geeky. I said, oh, my God, you'll love our show. He's like, oh, I've listened for a couple episodes. I'm like, what?
Well, yeah, why aren't you friending us on Facebook, damn it?
No, right. The amount of listeners we have is disproportionate to
the shy, awkward
number of Facebook likes we have.
They're just, podcast sluts.
They could just be.
take whatever they want. Like,
they are on Scruff.
Gay comics. Oh, look at this. I'll try this.
Well, Facebook, flameonshow.com. We're trying to raise money to get to Gay Days. That has gone live now. If you want to pick the next topic of probably our May show, go on there on the forums. There's a couple topics actually already up. But if you want to actually cement that so that we can do it, you got to donate money, just like the Nerdy Show people do. Actually, you're not donating. You're supporting us. That's,
yes.
That's the actual verbiage.
Supporting us.
Donating implies some kind of tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly. You are supporting us. But email, Twitter, Flame On Podcast, mm-hmm. just because Oral likes to be different.
Yes.
Basically. So, yeah, check us out. And on that note,
flame off.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.